Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. How are you doing, folks? I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene. Well, we have arrived. It is day three of the Ride the Airwaves CIUT Fall Fundraising Drive, running from November 15th straight through to the 21st. And listen, I have to tell you, I am overjoyed. Overjoyed and overwhelmed with gratitude this afternoon for all of you out there who have been supporting Turnout Radio and CIUT Radio. You, our wonderful listeners, have not only kept us powered and vital in the city of Toronto, but also across Canada and beyond. Thank you so much for your donations. Your financial contributions have allowed us to do so much, including continuing the flow of this radio engine, and have helped to create a platform for people across the globe to listen to our programming. So, throughout this hour, we invite you to share the love with us by donating any amount and by visiting us online to do so at ciut.fm. And you can also donate via phone at 416-946-7800 or toll-free at 1-888-204-8976. So let's get the conversation started. Coming up on today's show, the one and only Artistic Director of Toronto Dance Theatre, Andrew Tay, is here. And we have so much to talk about. So stay with us and stay locked in right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'll be right back with Andrew Tay.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. My guest today, Andrew Tay, is a performer, choreographer, DJ, and performance curator. In 2005, he co-founded Wants and Needs Dance with Sasha Klein-Platz, producing the widely popular events Short and Sweet and Piss in the Pool, which take place in non-traditional venues throughout Montreal. Tay was awarded the Dance Web Scholarship Impulse Dance Vienna and was nominated for a Quebec Notables Award for Arts and Culture. Now, in 2017, he was named the first artistic curator of the Centre de Création, or O Vertigo, or CCOV in Montreal, and recently relocated to Toronto to become the artistic director of Toronto Dance Theatre. Tay actively thinks about community, irreverence, and resistance in both his performance and curatorial practices. I am so delighted to welcome, for the first time to Turnout Radio, Andrew Tay. Andrew, welcome.
Hi, Nicole. It's really nice to be here.
It is so great to have you on the show. Andrew, I tell you, we have just been overjoyed in watching the wonderful work that you have been doing and giving to our community. Congratulations to you and welcome again to the show.
Thank you so much. I mean, yeah, it's nice to hear. It's been a weird time to do an artistic transition during the pandemic without even being able to see folks. So yeah, it's really nice to have actual connection and conversation with someone about it.
Right. And I'm so mindful of what you just shared, because it is an interesting time to make that type of a transition, not to mention all of the other things that we are navigating through as, you know, we work through and live and breathe through the state of our global climate. And so how has Andrew been? How have you been really and truly navigating through the shifts and changes of it all?
Yeah, I mean, I think like everyone, taking it day by day as we can do. One thing I think that maybe has helped me throughout this process is a lot of my artistic practice in general, I try to think of different ways of working outside of traditional kinds of structures. So somehow during this whole period, that was the only way to work. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, like it wasn't totally outside of my wheelhouse of maybe what I'm what I'm used to trying to propose in normal situations. It's just this time I didn't really have a choice. And but that probably was helpful in terms of keeping myself feeling good and healthy throughout this entire time period, I would say.
Yes. Yeah. And the good and healthy part, you know, that really stands out to me because so many of us and individuals who've sat down on the show with me, we often find ourselves talking about the healthy part and how what we're doing behind the scenes to stay or to be okay. And so I am so curious, you know, what are some of your self-care practices? What does Andrew do behind the scenes if you are so willing to share some of those with us?
Sure. There's probably a few of them. I mean, I think physical practice is really important. I think that, you know, whatever it is, like for myself, I have a certain kind of physical, an ab routine that I do in the morning, but I think that that like grounds me. I also think routine has been really helpful for me. It's weird that I feel like during this whole period, because maybe I've had more control of my time, that I really have gotten fixed into a certain type of routine, which I think has been really grounding. Yeah, and little things like listening to music. It's the little things, I think, that do a lot.
Yes, so true. It really is the little things. You know, there are things that over the course of the past year that I've thought, oh, wow, you know, I haven't done this in a year or 2 years or more. And just doing that little thing has served my wellness, you know, so greatly. Little things like even just organizing a drawer, you know, or getting back into the kitchen and trying new recipes, you know, doing so many different things that have really helped to support the shift and the times that we're in. And so I love hearing what you're saying also about the routine of things.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think everyone's got to find their own routine that works for them. And I think all of us have been questioning like what that is personally for us that maybe has shifted over this whole period of reflection that we've all been doing. Both personally and also I think when we're working like I do within institutions and within organizations, I think this has become really important.
One of the things that I find comes up very often is how do we kind of bring practices of care into those studio spaces and institutions and the spaces that we are creating in. And I find that that's a conversation that I've also been interested in engaging in. And so has that been something for you, Andrew, that you've been able to kind of bring some of those things that serve your, you know, your health and your wellness as an artist, and as a human, really? Has it been easy, or have you at all brought some of those things into the spaces that you created?
Yeah, I'm always trying to think about that in all of the kinds of ways that I practice. I'm a big fan of thinking about how the way that we work informs the kind of work that we're making. And I really think that there's a big correlation with that. If we're working in ways that are damaging and that are not feeling good, the work that we're gonna make is gonna be affected by that. So I really do try to think about that all of the time, particularly in coming to TDT, which is obviously one of Canada's oldest contemporary dance companies. That's been a big conversation we've been having throughout the last year. And because we haven't had as much time to work in the studio or on productions, we have been doing a lot of internal reflection around, what are things that we can do that that bring into this kind of holistic kind of approach to art making. That we're interested in pursuing. And some things are really small, right? Some things are like, Oh, you know, like after we do like a 2 week production, maybe we don't launch right in the next week on Monday to a whole new production. Like that's also going to be really physical or really physically demanding, like right afterwards. And, you know, beforehand we were on this constant mode of like, work, work, produce, produce, produce. And I think a lot of people are rethinking that. Of course, what now becomes a challenge now that we're starting to move back into the studio and everyone's kind of coming back is how do we kind of hold space for all this new knowledge and these things that we've been thinking about while at the same time, you know, re-entering the physical space. It's like this really tenuous kind of place that I feel like we're in right now that's really specific to this particular time.
Absolutely. I feel like every single day there's something new that we are incorporating into our practices, something new that is helping to support and drive us forward. And I love this conversation because when we are doing that reflection and considering what it is that we need, we're centering care for ourselves as humans, as artists. We're centering care so that we can determine what exactly is it we need when we are in these spaces and working and living and creating together.
Yeah. I mean, I think for dance artists, it's particularly important to think about. I think the culture of dance has been so fraught with ideals of, like, you know, the show must go on, you know, like you're hurt, just get through it till the end of the thing, so that, like, push through, you know what I mean? Like all of these things that, like, are part of our training, are part of the kind of culture around dance making that are a large part of a lot of our histories, that I think right now we can look at it and be like,
right? Yeah, and question, you know, and even push back on some of those things that we've been conditioned to. I think about one of the things when I was a wee one and starting out as a dancer for the first time and thinking about the messages of, for example, practice makes perfect, for example. And you're right, you know, the things that we've been really conditioned to do, which is produce, we have been conditioned to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, what is perfect when we're talking about art, when we're talking about a body? Once we start to go down these kinds of things, it can really get tricky, right? So I think it's something that we should always be constantly rethinking and questioning, and that's really important part of my practice.
Yes. Oh, I love it all. I love it all. Well, folks, for those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton, sitting down with Andrew Tay. And today is our fall fundraising drive show, the Ride the Airwaves CIUT fundraising show. I wanted to take an opportunity to thank all of you who have been so generous in your giving and who have supported Turnout Radio and CIUT over the years. And so again, I have the pleasure of sitting down with Andrew Tay this afternoon. And Andrew, one of the things that I would love for our audience to really get an opportunity to know a little bit more about Andrew. And so knowing that you had moved, share with us, if you can, please, what that was like moving from one space that you considered home to now coming and living and working in Toronto. What was that transition like for you?
Yeah, that was really an interesting time. A little bit like of a lot of adjusting in on many levels, just in terms of, you know, having to move during the pandemic, having to search for an apartment, changing job, all of the kinds of things happening at the same time. It was a weird thing, but also it was kind of like, because everyone was kind of going through a similar kind of thing of being in their personal spaces all of the time, it's like I was in a different place, but I was also in the same place and still in connection with the same people because of all of these modes of communication that we were just starting to rely on so much. Yeah, I think the one thing that was the most interesting and maybe more complicated for me is that a big part of my practice really is about going out into the community and, you know, seeing work, about meeting artists, about, you know, yeah, going to events and like talking to people about dance and art. And that was something I felt was really missing. You can't really do that if I go to a Zoom performance, if I go to a digital screening. Like, it's just not the same. Even when people try to create ways for socialization on digital media, it just never works out the same way. So that was something I definitely missed when I've been here the last little while. But luckily now I feel like things are opening up and I'm starting to get a better sense of the city, a better sense of like the vibe of the culture, which is so different from Montreal, where I'm from.
And I'm curious, what has been one of your favorite things that you've experienced, you know, now being in Toronto? Give us some favorites.
I mean, I love going to the Kiki balls that are happening under the underpass that the Kiki Ballroom Alliance have been doing. I'm definitely, you know, anytime I can support kind of like queer and like community-based art and dance practice, like that has been really great. It's also right next to where I live right now. So I was able to just like, you know, walk a couple of blocks down, check it out, walk back home, which was really amazing. But it was also really beautiful to see that kind of sense of community. And also it's quite big in terms of like the amount of people that it was holding. And I thought that was really beautiful. Yeah.
Yes. I often hear that from individuals who move into Toronto, sit down and say with me, you know, Toronto just feels like this hub of excitement, from the food to the culture to everything, you know, Nicole, that I, you know, can think of exploring, from fashion to, you know, it's often interesting to hear what people think of the city once they move in and they are here and a part of the day-to-day going ons.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited to be here in Toronto. I mean, I was lucky because before I was showing my work sometimes here in Toronto. And I was collaborating with quite a few Toronto artists. So I do have a little bit of an idea of the arts and culture scene here, but I'm really excited to delve more in, and get to know all of the stuff that I don't know.
Well, speaking of excitement, the new artistic director of Toronto Dance Theatre, and there is this exciting, very exciting season that is coming up. So explore with us, please, Andrew, as we take a look at Toronto Dance Theatre now and the next phase of what TDT is looking at. Before we introduce and discuss the season, what can we expect as we step into this new time of TDT? I know you shared a bit of it in terms of the reflection. Curious to know a little bit more.
Sure. I mean, some of the things I'm definitely thinking about, just coming from my the position that I just left in Montreal at the CCOV, was a similar kind of place where there was a choreographer, Jeanette Laurent, who was there for 30 years, who left the organization. And I was there to kind of reimagine what the potential for that particular dance company and structure was. Here with TDT, I'm really excited to kind of think about what are new possibilities for the organization here in Toronto. One of the things for this season that's new for TDT, I think, that's outside of things that have happened in the past, is that besides the great work that's going to be happening on the ensemble cast members and the kind of stage productions that the TDT ensemble does, there's also curatorial events and works that and events that bring together artists, community, sometimes focus around specific themes or subjects. And lots of ways for independent artists to participate in the programming that are on a bigger scale, I think, than have existed before at TDT.
And so let's dig into the season as well and start to explore what we can expect. You know, when I was reading through the season, I thought, oh, wow. You know, there is so much that I know that I'm going to have the opportunity to engage in and learn from. And so can you give us some highlights? Although all of it really is a big highlight in and of itself. But tell us what we can kind of start to look towards with the season two?
Yeah, I'm really excited about a lot of the stuff. And obviously, I think I've also tried to, we tried to be ambitious this season and kind of do a lot of activity, even though this is still a transitionary season for all arts organizations, kind of working in this in between the shifting COVID realities that are happening. But some things I'm really excited about, the Bridgemakers project that's happening at TDT, which we've lucky enough to be funded from the Canada Council Digital Now strategy, where we've invited five local GTA dance artists to collaborate with artists from outside of the GTA. So really stimulating connections and exchange between Toronto dance artists and artists from, there's collaborations between artists from India, from the US, from Mexico, from Montreal, you know, like, and that's really exciting. A lot of the programming that I'm doing is also about stimulating exchange and curiosity between artists. And, you know, I'm really excited about what's happening. Rodney Diverless started last week creating the first, well, in the research phase of what's going to become the first full-length production for TDT since the pandemic. And it's been really lovely. They're really thinking also in a similar way of holistic ways of working, where what they're thinking about, their values are reflected in the ways that they're working. And how can we, as an organizational support that type of work within our walls has been a really interesting conversation. And I'm really excited to see how that work turns out.
And we've had the great pleasure of having Rodney Diverless on our show on a couple of different occasions. And so when I hear you speak, I know the greatness that is going to come out of the work that is being put together there. It's always so exciting to see Rodney at work. And in continuing that, so we're looking at the RBC pilot episodes, Bridgemakers Project, Expressive Residencies. And so as you were curating and as the season has been coming together, what are some of the messages and the influences, all of those things that you're really hoping to infuse within what the season is going to look like and what it can offer individuals of diverse bodies who are coming to actually take in the season?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think some themes for sure that are coming up are this idea of supporting more independent artists, especially after a time when independent artists were probably the hardest hit over this last time period. And on a practical level, it allows more independent artists to engage with the TDT company for the first time, which I think is really beautiful. And also is a great way for me to meet artists through their art making, which is also really exciting and can potentially lead to, you know, developing further relationships. Yeah, and then of course, like, you know, something I've been thinking about a lot since I came here is the name of the company is called Toronto Dance Theatre. For me, this puts me in a big reflection about, well, what do we mean when we say Toronto Dance? And obviously TDT is a company that is really steeped in a lineage of postmodern contemporary dance aesthetics. But for me, in all of my practices and all of my curatorial events and programming that I do is really this idea of trying to connect different types of dance aesthetics, bring different artists who might normally come into contact with each other. And you'll see that throughout all of the programming that we're doing. The pilot episodes has great artists like Miss Coco Murray, Mafa, queer artists like Zach Silvmist, and we had Otri Nundi, doing Bharatanatyam, brought some of their Bharatanatyam dancers to collaborate with the TDT members 2 weeks ago, which was really beautiful. So, you know, trying to find ways of collaboration that feel really good and right, and that I hope feel welcoming also to artists to collaborate with TDT, so that this sets a precedent for the future seasons.
Oh, Well, Andrew, you've already got me excited about the upcoming season. And I know that you, all of you who are listening, I'm sure there's a lot of excitement on your end as well. We are just about to enter into a break. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, sitting down with Andrew Tay for today's Ride the Airwaves fundraising drive. Stay locked in, stay tuned right here on CIUT. We're going to take a break and be right back with more after this. Listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. That was Jungle with Keep Moving. It's our Ride the Airwaves CIUT Fall Fundraising Drive Show. Thank you for tuning in today. Your donations have been so, so greatly appreciated, and your contributions do go far. We want you to know that, including with the help of the creation, development, and even the implementation of CIUT's audiovisual archives from the last 35 years, and equipment repairs and upgrades, and oh, so much more. Thank you again for your donations. And listen to this, an exciting share. For those who can and wish to give a donation of $89.50 or above, you can win some great prizes, including for a donation of that amount, if you give by midnight on December 31st, 2021, you will be eligible for entry into our grand prize draw for a trip for two to Reykjavik, Iceland, a value of $3,500, courtesy of Island Naturally. Oh, yes, please. Yes, please. A lovely opportunity for a trip for two. And if you're just tuning in, I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back with Andrew Tay, Artistic Director of Toronto Dance Theatre. I'm so glad to have you on the show. And to hear you say, right before we took our break, the discussion or the thought around even the name of Toronto Dance Theatre and how you've been inviting in that conversation and thought, I think that is such an important conversation, and one that I'm noticing a lot of arts organizations and even organizations outside of the arts are starting to have as we reflect on is what we are called and how we are showing up in the world. Is it welcoming? Is it inclusive? Is it accurate? Is it appropriate? Does it signify and does it speak the language of our diverse nations, diverse peoples, diverse bodies? I find it so interesting and actually quite intriguing and important that Toronto Dance Theatre is also reflecting on those thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's really important. In Quebec, like at the CCOV, one of the things I was really involved in is really generating a discussion around what people thought Quebec dance was, because people would talk to me about, oh, Quebec dance all the time. And when they spoke to me about that, I knew what they were talking about. Like, I could picture the type of body that they were thinking about, the type of movements, and also realizing that that was excluding or not taking into account a lot of dance aesthetics and a lot of dance forms that have existed in Quebec for a long time. So now that I'm here, obviously, I'm kind of transferring that kind of thinking to Toronto and being like, oh yeah, what is Toronto dance? And I think historically, a lot of dance organizations, and I think TDT as one of them, when they think about like, oh, Toronto dance, or they think about these words like diversity or inclusion, they often think about, well, what's the kind of makeup of the company, or kind of like a visual idea of what it is. But for me, that doesn't include the things that I'm talking about, like the different types of dance aesthetics, the different types of bodies. Like, that's a more deeper kind of questioning than just, because this often happens in the reflection of diversity. It can really easily go into tokenization. So I hope that arts organizations and dance organizations continue to think about these questions, because I think they're really important.
Absolutely. And TDT has a long history, you know, being founded in 1968. Many conversations have been had since then in our world. And in addition to many conversations, many shifts and changes, and much acknowledging is also occurring in terms of us really realizing, I'm saying us as in artists, the arts sector, realizing what it is that we may have even been missing and not considering when we are thinking about all that you have just mentioned.
Yeah, for sure. And I think especially in Toronto, which is such a city, like so alive with all of these different types of artistic expressions and cultures, and that, I mean, it just makes sense that we need to be think about it. That's what makes it exciting. I mean, as a programmer and as a curator, I'm also into, creating a vibe and like party kinds of aesthetics. And like, for me, if we want to create that kind of like party fun kind of energy, this for me means that like, it's not going to be homogenous, and it's not going to be all one type of proposition, because that's like not a fun party for me. That's like really boring. So yeah, that's something that I think about a lot also in my programming.
And one of the ways that you have been inviting individuals into spaces, I've noticed, because I've had an opportunity to bear witness, is through music as a DJ. So can you share with us your history, your background? Many of us didn't know that Andrew, in addition to all of the wonderful things that you bring, Andrew, that you are a fantastic DJ. So talk to us about your DJing.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I have a DJ practice. I have lots of friends who are professional DJs who do that as their like main career. I would not put myself at that level, but I am often invited to DJ at art festivals. And also during the pandemic, I started a dance community focused dance parties that were Canadian wide, and were really, really, when we talked at the beginning about wellness and things that were making us feel good and like, you know, like grounding us and helping us get through things, like those kinds of events, even though it wasn't the same as going to a big nightclub and dancing together, Even being able to host those type of events and bring people together through dancing and seeing people dancing in their living rooms or outside with their families in these kind of like online party events really also like helped me a lot and was really satisfying. And yeah, you know, I come from in the 90s. I was born in Windsor, Ontario. So in the 90s, when I was a teenager, I was really involved in the Detroit techno and rave culture scene there. And I feel like that's also a dance culture that is an experience of dancing. And I feel like that has informed my artistic practice just as much as my studio dance practice. Mm-hmm. And I really hold that really seriously. Like, I think they are both of equal value to me when I'm thinking about what are my dance worlds that I come from. So I really think about that, this, how much also like club and social dance has influenced, you know, dance and performance when we think of it in a more like cultural kind of product sense.
And will we be seeing many more of those community events where music is also at the center of some of these events at Toronto Dance Theatre's upcoming season?
I mean, I hope so. I mean, the opening event we did for this season was an event called The Listening Party, where we invited kind of cultural instigators, everyone from like, you know, Sage Paul, who's the director of Indigenous Fashion Week, to Tamia Wharton Hall, who's a director of Dance Immersion, to bring a vinyl record and they would play it. And at the same time, we would pair a dance artist who had never heard the record before. They would listen to the story about why that person brought the record, and then they would improvise to it. And we did it outside in Riverdale Park, and it was really beautiful event. Yeah, and people loved it, so I think we're going to redo it. But also there's an event called the Performance Clash that's coming up in the upcoming season in the spring, where we pair company members with artists from outside of dance. And there will for sure be some music folks involved in that. Like I said, I'm always trying to create these connections. I'm interested also in interesting pairings of artists that you wouldn't normally think would collaborate together, existing in the same space with each other and kind of making work with each other. I'm really interested in those, yeah, these kind of uncommon pairings, uncommon collaborations, and holding a space for that to happen. Yeah. Mm.
Well, for those of you who are just as excited as I am, you really have to check out the upcoming season at tdt.org. And so in hearing those shares, Andrew, as we are soon coming to a close of today's conversation, I can't believe it. This time went by so quickly. As you look forward for Toronto Dance Theatre and the many changes that are to come, the excitement that is to come, what are some of the hopes? I love talking about the hopes and dreams. What are some of those that you are really hoping to impart into the organization within the years to come?
Yeah, I'm really hoping to develop the touring and the international kind of exchanges that can happen within the organization. I'm an artist who has been fortunate enough to have and continue to tour my work internationally. And I hope to bring some of these connections that I've made both as artist and as curator to not only Toronto Dance Theatre, but also to the Toronto dance community. Because yeah, you know, I speak to a lot of my peers who are dance programmers internationally. And they often speak to me about Canada and they're like, oh, there's so many cool artists. But when they talk to me, I realize often they're only speaking about artists from Montreal when they're talking about artists. And this is from like a contemporary kind of dance world. And that to me makes me really sad because there are really amazing artists here. And I've gotten to discover even so many more great artists from Toronto, even just the short time of being here thus far. And so I hope that I can also bring some visibility to the Toronto dance community internationally as well in the coming years, yeah.
That's interesting. I wonder why that could be. Is when I think about the landscape and the offerings, really, that Toronto has here, so many beautiful, awesome, wonderful, incredible, giving, generous. The list goes on, artists and the work that is being done. I wonder why that could be that Montreal, for example, or other cities may be the focus, for example. So that question comes up for me.
I think there's a lot of reasons for that, and I don't know how political we want to get on this show, but you know, infrastructure here for dance, support for the arts from the government is much different than in Quebec, and I think this changes also the outreach and it changes a lot for folks. But I feel like things are shifting. I feel like people are also looking for things that are outside of just this main center of Montreal, particularly in contemporary and experimental dance practice.
Yes. Well, we are going to take another quick break here on Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton, sitting down with Andrew and Andrew Tay. Let me tell you something. That last share, that's for the next time that you come back on the show. We're going to investigate that one a little bit more.
Yeah, we should be lobbying the government for that one.
Yes, we should. Well, Andrew and I are going to take a very quick break, and we'll be back with more of Turnout Radio right after this. Listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. To Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. That was Co Flow featuring Lady C with Reasons. Today is our Ride the Airwave CIUT Fall Fundraising Drive show. Thank you again for joining us for the program and for sharing the love. Your donations of any amount are so welcome and can be shared with us by visiting CIUT.FM, and you can also donate via phone at 416-946-7800 or toll free at 1-888-204-8976. And of course, I am back with the wonderful Andrew Tay of Toronto Dance Theatre. And Andrew, I don't want to let you go, but I know I kind of have to. I would love to also, before you do leave today, for us to talk about the CCOV TDT. If you can talk to us about that programming that's happening between December and April.
Yeah, that's there's some really interesting projects where, because I am a curator and I think about arts curation, we wanted to do a couple of projects that involve giving space for younger curators to also have the space to kind of think about programs together. And one of the things we came up with was a project that involves street and concert dance artists and thinking about Montreal and Toronto. So that's a project where we have two artists from Montreal, one concert dance, one street dance artist, and same thing in Toronto. So four artists total, and they work for 1 week in Montreal and 1 week in Toronto. And kind of thinking about what are the different realities between the street and social dance kind of club scene and the concert dance scene, and also the difference between the two cities and their realities, Montreal and Toronto. And we're doing that with two really great curators from the street dance community, Raoul Wilkie and Nubian Nene, who's based in Montreal. Yeah, I'm really excited about that one.
Oh, well, I can't wait. That is happening between December 2021 to April 2022. Along with so much else, wonderful programming happening at TDT. Make sure and find out all that you need. You can get it all at tdt.org. And also, you can visit Toronto Dance Theater on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Andrew, you are a delight. It's been such a pleasure to sit down with you today on the show.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed spending time and talking about dance, talking about art. It's really great.
Yes, indeed. And here's to having you back with us on the show at some point soon. I'm looking forward to being at Toronto Dance Theater and coming to see all the happenings of this upcoming season. So congratulations to you as well. And thank you for all that you continue to share with all of us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Come see us this season.
Oh, I will be there.
Hi in the office.
I will be there. You won't be able to keep me away, Andrew. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
And that was Andrew Tay of Toronto Dance Theater, Artistic Director of Toronto Dance Theater. You can find out all that you need to know about the upcoming season at tdt.org. And that's it for today's Turnout Radio broadcast. Thank you to my guest, Andrew Tay, Artistic Director of Toronto Dance Theater, for sitting down with me. What a great human. I so enjoyed the discussion with Andrew. And a big, big thank you, a heartfelt thank you to all of you, our listeners, for tuning in during the Ride the Airwave CIUT Fall Fundraising Drive. With much gratitude, we greatly appreciate your donations. And your donations of any amount are still welcome. You can give by visiting us online and check out our great programming while there at CIUT.fm. And of course, you can also donate via phone at 416-946-7800 or toll free at 1-888-204-8976. Technical production of today's broadcast was facilitated by Amber Downback, the wonderful Amber. For more about Turnout Radio, visit us at turnoutradio.com. Tune in next week at 2 p.m. EST right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I can't wait to sit down with all of you again. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.